Welcome to Reproductive Biology Seminar. And certainly a pleasure to be here, and I was really impressed with the talks. Really fantastic. What a fantastic seminar series this has been. And I'm going to talk about early pregnancy diagnosis in cattle, and so I'm a dairy guy, and I'm hoping this isn't too bad a looking beef cow. I'm not sure though, but so I picked out this dairy cow, and we breed this cow by let's just use timed AI as an example. So we breed this cow timed AI, and we sit and wonder, is she pregnant? And of course, if cows were salmon, it would be easy. You know, the old salmon turns red before she ovulates. Okay, so if she came back and eat and turned red, that'd be nice, right? But they're not salmon. If they were deer, it'd be fantastic. The average first insemination pregnancy rate for deer, I think, is above 90%. And if that's were true, if every cow got pregnant, you wouldn't need to preg check them. You'd just breed them and assume they were pregnant, you know. And so I throw this out as an interesting question, is why is conception rate in deer so high and conception rate in cattle so low? And I wonder if we selected cows for conception rate for 50 years, whether we wouldn't need to preg check them because they all get pregnant. But we'll leave that one alone. So the deer, so the real unsung hero here is the bull, right? Because we breed our cows by timed AI, and then we put the bull in, and anything that's not pregnant, he detects and does the deed. And that would work fine, except he never writes down her number after he breeds her, so we don't know who got bred. So and I don't think we're going to teach any bulls how to write, and their hooves aren't very good for holding pencils, so we need to think about early pregnancy diagnosis. And pregnancy diagnosis, of course, has changed quite a bit over time. You got lots of options. You can simply breed cows and wait and see who calves the next year. That's certainly an option that's practiced. You can palpate manually. You can do ultrasound. I'm going to spend a lot of time today talking about blood pregnancy tests and the use of blood pregnancy tests for early pregnancy diagnosis. And I think it's one thing that we have to recognize is that in terms of pregnancy diagnosis, that times are really changing, and they're changing very quickly. And I know this is a beef group, and most of my work is in dairy, but I will tell you that blood pregnancy testing in the dairy industry has totally changed the way we think about managing pregnancy diagnoses. And this is some data from Jeremy's group in biotracking. But you have to realize that in dairy cattle, we've gone from basically no blood pregnancy testing to a situation we have now where we not only test for pregnancy with a blood sample, we also test for pregnancy in milk samples at 35 days after breeding. And so now your same DHIA lab that tests your milk for fat and protein can test your cows for pregnancy. And that is a complete and total game changer in terms of the way we think about reproduction in postpartum dairy cows. So the other thing you have to realize about new technology is it usually evolves slowly, and it's typically quite cumbersome when it first is developed. And so I'll show you some information today about some technology that's not totally optimized. But remember, ultrasound wasn't so keen 10 years ago either, when machines were big and we used to hook up car batteries to our ultrasounds and truck car batteries around with them. And now, of course, you put it on your belt, and as soon as Carl gives me an ultrasound the size of my cell phone, I think I'm going to get it, but I'm not going to let my good friend Scott Polk use it. I'm going to use it. So, but I think one of the things to think about for beef producers is there's been a lot of focus on AI calves, and I think that's important because AI calves are important to the future of the beef industry. But remember, the only way to get more AI calves is to do a second artificial insemination. And to do a second artificial insemination in a beef cow, you have to do a pregnancy diagnosis before you can do that second artificial insemination. Because typically, if you're going to use some sort of resynchronization, you're going to have to give prostaglandin to that cow. So you've got to know whether or not she's pregnant. And that, for our industry, has really put the focus on methods for pregnancy diagnosis shortly after breeding. Now, beef-free synchronization in dairy is a tremendous topic because we are all very much focused on how we breed a cow, but then identify non-pregnant cows and rebreed them. And beef resynchronization, but resynchronization in beef is really a new area. And I just show this. This is a literature search for papers on beef resynchronization that I did yesterday morning. And you can see there's only 6 publications on beef resynchronization, and the latest one was in 2008. And if you do a comparable search in dairy, you'll actually see about 42 papers on resynchronization in dairy cows. So this is an area that I think you're going to be more and more active research and you're going to be hearing more about. But to do resynchronization, as I mentioned, the first thing you have to do is some sort of pregnancy diagnosis. So I'm going to talk about different ways to diagnose pregnancy in a cow and or a heifer. And most of these methods would work for both cows and heifers. And so I'm going to start out with methods as early as 2 days after breeding. And so 2 days after breeding, there was a lot of interest in this compound called early pregnancy factor. And the concept was shortly after breeding that the embryo would release some sort of factor that would be sensed by the oviduct. And you can measure that factor in the bloodstream. And I think this factor was quite interesting. Particularly the assay for this factor was quite interesting. And if you see here, the assay for this early pregnancy factor involved an agglutination assay where a horse lymphocyte would agglutinize with a human erythrocyte. So that's kind of a crazy assay. And in the end, this turned out to be a little bit of a crazy factor because it could never possibly be commercialized. And despite the fact that a product did come to market to measure pregnancy within 2 to 3 days after breeding, it was later shown that it was not effective. In other words, we can't really tell whether or not a cow was pregnant 2 to 3 days after breeding. It would, however, be excellent to know whether or not a cow was pregnant 2 to 3 days after breeding. So if I took a cow through a timed AI program and I could figure out who was pregnant or not pregnant shortly after breeding, I might just run the non-pregnant ones back through the chute and take another shot at them to try to get them pregnant. And actually, we've got the thing about early pregnancies is if I knew whether or not this cow was not pregnant, this is the estrous cycle, and I think Dr. Smith told you about the estrous cycle with 2 follicular waves and the development of the corpus luteum. You can either apply a rapid resynchronization, which is prostaglandin with GnRH injection 2 days later and timed AI, or you can simply put the cow back on OVSYNC. And you can have that cow rebred within 10 days of identifying she's not pregnant. And so if we knew whether or not that cow was not pregnant, there are many options to breed her rapidly shortly after that pregnancy diagnosis. Now, the second time, which is certainly a very credible time we can detect pregnancy, is about sometime between 16 and 18 days after breeding. And this is a time when the embryo is making a hormone called interferon tau. So what happens during early pregnancy is the embryos are initially spherical, and then they go through this process called elongation. They become tubular. And when they're tubular, they make a chemical called interferon tau, which is the chemical that the embryo uses to signal the mother in terms of early pregnancy. And some of this interferon tau escapes the uterus and acts on the leukocytes. And this interferon tau is a cytokine, and it basically causes the blood leukocytes to make other chemicals. And these are called interferon-stimulated genes. And the names of those chemicals are MX2, OIS1, and ISG15. And so the embryo can actually signal the lymphocytes. And you can detect the expression of these genes in the lymphocytes as those lymphocytes circulate throughout the blood of the cow. And so these are some data that we did in collaboration with Troy Ott and Todd Hansen. And basically what we're looking at is ISG15 expression or MX2 expression on day 16, 18, or 20 after breeding. The closed bars are pregnant cows. The open bars are open cows. And you can see quite clearly that we can detect pregnancy in a cow using this marker within 18 days after breeding. Now, 18 days after breeding, we would expect If the cow was inseminated on day zero, we would expect 18 days after breeding that the cow would have a corpus luteum, and she'd also have a second wave dominant follicle. So the program that we use for that is what we call rapid resynchronization, which I mentioned earlier. And essentially, we give prostaglandin F2 alpha, and that prostaglandin F2 alpha causes regression of the corpus luteum. And then 2 days later, we give GnRH to ovulate that dominant follicle and inseminate the cow. So in approximately 48 hours, we can rebreed that cow if we know for sure that she's not pregnant. Obviously, if she's pregnant, we leave her alone. And so that gives you about a 21-day interval between when I bred her here and when I rebred her. And, of course, that's identical to the natural estrus cycle. So you're using a synchronization program to recapitulate the process of the natural estrus cycle. We did this in an experiment. This is called the 21-day resynchronization program. We did this in dairy heifers. And what we did was we inseminated the dairy heifers. We did the pregnancy diagnosis on day 18. If the heifers were not pregnant, we gave prostaglandin, and 2 days later, we gave GnRH and a timed AI. And we compared this, in this experiment, we compared this to a control program, which we bred the heifers, but then we measured estrus detection and bred after detected estrus. And so, if you look at the data from this trial, what we show here is in the pregnant heifers, you can see the large increase in OAS1 expression on day 18 if the heifer was pregnant. You see no change in expression if the heifer is not pregnant. And then if you look at survival analyses, what the survival analysis shows is that in the control animals, we re-inseminated the controls over a period of about somewhere between, 10 to 20 days, we did the re-inseminations of the controls. In other words, if the heifer was not pregnant, she was coming in heat at a very variable interval. But in the heifers that we did the timed AI program on, we bred all those heifers on the same day. In other words, we rebred all the non-pregnant heifers on the same day. And the way we did that was we diagnosed them not pregnant, and then we put them right back onto a timed AI program and rebred them. And so the advantage is we took a 20-day estrus detection period, and we basically we brought it down to just no estrus detection and bred everything in a single day. So the next one I'll talk about, of course, is the progesterone. And unfortunately, sadly for you guys, you beef guys, you can't do milk progesterone. I asked my good friend, Dwayne Brook, whether I could milk a beef cow, and he told me no, so we're not going to do that, all right? I assume they're mammals, though. I've never seen any milk from them, but just kidding. But the milk progesterone testing is actually about ready to take off in the dairy industry. And the reason I mention this, of course, milk progesterone testing is, this concept is if the cow is pregnant after you breed her, progesterone concentrations stay elevated. If she doesn't cycle back, progesterone concentrations stay elevated. And De Laval Milking Systems has developed a system to actually automatically, robotically measure progesterone concentrations in milk and feed it through a computer system. And I had a chance to visit one of these systems in Guelph, and I can tell you right now, this is going to completely change the way we manage reproduction in the dairy industry. Because basically, milk progesterone monitoring allows us to observe the estrous cycle of the cow and also observe when that cow becomes pregnant through progesterone monitoring. De Laval also splices this system into an activity monitoring system. So not only do they measure progesterone, but they also measure activity of the cow to determine when she comes into heat. And I thought this was, not real until I sat down at a produce in a very dusty, well, it wasn't that dusty, but a dusty milk house and actually looked at real computer records, and I can tell you that it's for real. So this is an example of one of the cows I looked at that day, and what we were looking at is the analysis for milk progesterone. And essentially, these are days, and this is progesterone concentration in the milk. And you can see these rises in progesterone. And these are increases in milk progesterone, and these are estrous cycles. So you can see this cow is cycling. You can see the little red triangles. Those are increases in activity of that cow, meaning the cow is coming into heat. So when the progesterone goes down, she's coming into heat and she increases her activity. And you can see the blue triangles is when the farmer has inseminated the cow. And so she has a decrease in progesterone, means she's coming, having luteolysis. She's increasing activity, inseminates the cow, and progesterone stays up and the cow's pregnant. No shots, no nothing, just monitoring the estrous cycle of the cow. And this is, I got news for you, in 10 years, you guys, the dairy guys are going to have to sit around and learn how to interpret progesterone plots for this kind of stuff to breed their cows from this type of stuff. So anyways, the next one I want to talk about is very applicable to beef, and this is the pregnancy-associated glycoproteins. Pregnancy-associated glycoproteins are the can be detected in the bloodstream after day 25, and essentially the placenta, bovine placenta, makes these proteins, and they circulate in the bloodstream of the cow, and you can use them as for a blood pregnancy test. And so essentially the way the process works is the cow calves, and she has high PAG concentrations in the blood after she calves, and you usually have to wait about 60 days for those PAG concentrations to clear from the previous pregnancy. And then when you breed the cow, if the cow is pregnant, the PAG concentrations go up. If the cow is open, the PAG concentrations stay low. And you test her to determine if she's got elevated PAG concentrations, usually sometime between 25 and 30 days after breeding. If she has embryonic loss, the PAG concentrations will go up, but then they'll go down. If she loses the embryo, it takes about a week for them to clear from the bloodstream. Lots of companies in the business of PAGs. BioTracking was the first company to offer PAG testing. Gen X offers PAG testing with their DG29. And IDEX, who's I saw an IDEX booth here, offers PAG testing as well. In dairy, again, this is one of these topics that has just taken the dairy industry by storm. There's 27 publications on PAGs and dairy cows. There are two publications on PAGs and beef cows, one of which is the one we wrote from my lab. So we need to work harder on PAGs, okay? We've got to get to work on this. And thankfully, I don't see Kai, but I'm borrowing these slides from Kai Poller. And Kai is a student of Mike Smith, and he did some work in PAGs and beef cattle to show you some data from beef cattle and PAGs. In his thesis, what Kai found was that he could detect an increase in PAGs as early as 24 days after breeding in the blood. So they come up about 24 days after breeding. PAG concentrations actually increase about 35 days after breeding. They subsequently decrease, but then they increase again towards the end of gestation. So you can test cows fairly early, and they actually have a nice peak in PAG concentrations about 35 days after breeding. One of the things that's interesting about PAGs is it may be a method to identify cows that are at risk for losing the pregnancy, because what Kai found was cows that might potentially lose a pregnancy have slightly lower PAGs than cows that have a healthy pregnancy. This may have to do with the fact that slower growing, smaller embryos have smaller placenta and therefore potentially have lower concentrations of circulating PAGs in the bloodstream. So this is data. These are actually data from dairy cows. These are two embryos. These are both day 35 embryos. You can see one is much larger than the other. And if we look at PAG concentrations, you can see that the larger embryo has much higher PAG concentrations than the smaller embryo. And we're assuming that that smaller embryo is at risk for dying. What we use PAG for is in a 28-day breeding system that we use these PAG tests for. And so essentially what we do in this system is we set the cow up with some sort of an ovsync program and time breed the cow. We then come back on day 19, give her GnRH, and put a seeder in the cow. We PAG test her on day 26. If she's pregnant, we leave her alone. If she's open, We give her prostaglandin, GnRH, and time breeder. And that gives us a 28-day interval between AIs. In other words, we're rebreeding her at a 28-day interval, excuse me. And that's a little bit, it's not as good as the bull, but at least we're getting close. In other words, if she would normally come back in heat on day 21, you might get her a little bit earlier, but you're getting two AIs in her in a 21-day period. So this is an example of what a PAG test looks like, in this case, 25 days after breeding. And this is the old style system that we used. It's the old tube test, and you can see the series of tubes there, and the blue color means the cow is pregnant. What IDEX is going to sell you is an ELISA, and in this ELISA, again, these are 25 days after breeding. IDEX is going to tell you not to use it before day 28, but we use it on day 25, and there's reasons for that. The blue is a pregnant cow. The clear is a non-pregnant cow. They're going to ask you to add a color, a stop reagent, which is going to turn everything yellow. So if you see yellow, it's the same thing as seeing blue. And you can see in this program, at first AI, when we did our program, we had a 55% conception rate to first AI and a 41% conception rate to second AI. So it was an opportunity for us to pick up some additional cattle at a 28-day interval. And again, these programs do not involve heat detection. They're strictly timed AI programs. So last thing I'll tell you about is why not diagnose pregnancy and start a resync before first AI? And you're like, how can you diagnose pregnancy before you breed a cow? Well, I can't tell you who's going to be pregnant before I breed a cow, but I can tell you who's not going to be pregnant before I breed a cow. And so this goes back to this milk progesterone testing. And there's the Herdlet Navigator system, but there's another system that we work with assay system from Germany, and this is a milk progesterone auto-analyzer type thing where you just simply put the samples into the machine and get your progesterone values about an hour later, and it's made by a German company. And the concept is that you have to think about is when we do timed AI and cows don't get pregnant, one of the major reasons they do not get pregnant is they did not respond to the series of injections we gave them. That's a big reason cows do not get pregnant, is because when we gave the series of injections, for some reason they did not respond properly to one of the injections. So this is an example from a milk progesterone test from the autoanalyzer that we did in our lab. And what we want a cow to do is when we give a cow prostaglandin F2 alpha, we want her, first of all, when we give the injection, we want her to have a CL and to have progesterone. 2 days later, when we give her GnRH, we want her to have low progesterone. In other words, we want the corpus luteum to have regressed. And then we breed the cow, and then we want a corpus luteum to form. And I can tell you that on a dairy, on our dairy at Missouri, if we, for the cows that have a CL, regress the CL, and we breed, we get a first insemination conception rate of 67% for timed AI. That's on dairy cows making 100 pounds of milk a day. The problem with timed AI is the cows that don't respond to the first insemination, or to the injections. And so any time you do a timed AI program, you've got this population of cows that don't have a CL when you give her prostaglandin. They don't undergo CL regression when you give them GnRH. And when you breed them, you get a conception rate of zero. And so the trick to improving this is to figure out who these cows are that didn't respond before you put semen in them. And so When we design this system, which we're going to test, it has not been tested, but it's been designed. And the concept is that we put cows on some sort of a synchronization program, and we test them when we give them prostaglandin, and we retest them when we give them GnRH. And if they pass the test, we breed them, and we'll get an extremely high conception rate. But if they don't pass the test, we won't breed them, and put them back on a 5-day program and breed them a week later. And so we think that at least under normal conditions, that'll increase our time to AI conception rate from 45%, which is good, to 67%, which is outstanding, because we've weeded out those cows that haven't responded properly. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but that's 22 additional AI calves out of 100 cows, which is a lot of AI calves. So with that, thank you very much, and I appreciate your time, certainly. Thank you.